This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome everyone to today's live event. I am Lina, a member of Super Sisters of Pakistan. And with us today is Sheikha Jamaluddin. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikha, for being with us and joining us today. It's truly an honor to have you, alhamdulillah. Sheikha Jamaluddin studied in... I'm so sorry, Sheikha, they couldn't hear you.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
It's my fault, I'm so sorry.
That's okay, no worries, inshallah.
Sheikha Jamaluddin studied Quran, Arabic and Tajweed in Saudi Arabia in Darul Huda, through which she obtained her license of teaching Tajweed. After that, she did her bachelor's in Arabic, mashallah, in Australia, and her bachelor's in Usul al-Fiqh in Medina International University, mashallah. Allahumma ya Rabbi, barik fi ilmaha wa yahfazha ya Rabb. How did you feel, ya Sheikha, going through all of this?
Alhamdulillah, it's been a very long journey, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, I heard some of your videos and I was truly moved because we are born Muslims and we take it for granted, to be honest.
SubhanAllah.
May Allah put barakah in your knowledge and protect you, ya Sheikha.
Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feeki.
Sheikha has played an integral part in doing dawah and helping Muslims around the world. And personally, Sheikha, the more I read about you, the more excited I was and the more I was looking forward to this day and learning from you, inshallah. So inshallah, Sheikha will be telling us about the virtues of the last 10 days of Ramadan to help recharge us and make us really spiritually ready for these last 10 days because we really need it. I feel like this year we've been a bit on a low.
Yeah.
We haven't reached that high of Ramadan. And just a reminder for everyone that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yajtahidu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he used to devote himself to worship. And that is what we need to do as well. Inshallah, on to you, Sheikha. I will give you the mic and go ahead and start.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy on all of us, inshallah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from the successful in this month, my dearest sisters. It's an honor for me to be here. It's my first time I've ever spoken to my dear sisters in Pakistan. So may Allah reward you and bless all of you. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to make everything easy in all of your affairs. SubhanAllah. Allahumma ameen ya Rabb. So as we know, subhanAllah, just like the blink of an eye, already two-thirds of these precious days and nights of Ramadan have passed away. And subhanAllah, we've already, you know, we can't believe it, but already we've reached the last 10 nights of this month. And I know that like the last couple of years have been, you know, very trialing for many of us, you know, with COVID and, you know, having lockdowns and trying to balance our lives between all of that with, you know, kids and having people at home and, you know, financial worries. There's been a lot of trials for a lot of people. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy on all the souls that, you know, Allah Ta'ala has taken, you know, through all of these trials we've been going through. You know, may Allah have mercy on and make it, you know, a means for them all to enter Jannat al-Firdaws. And even the trials we've all been going through, I ask Allah Ta'ala to make it a means for us to enter Jannat al-Firdaws, inshallah. Because as we know, nothing's ever wasted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dearest sisters. But what I want to say today is that, you know, because of all these trials we've been going through, because we're living in unprecedented times, you know, that can have an effect on you being able to focus in this month the way that you would have liked, right? So you may be feeling a little bit deflated right now. You might be thinking like, this is not how I would have liked to have spent my Ramadan. This is not what I would have wanted to get out of my Ramadan so far, right? But what I want to say here is that the good news is that from the rahmah of Allah, from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that He saved the best part of this month until the last. So even if you haven't done so well up until now in this month, but Allah Ta'ala from His mercy and from His, you know, extreme like lutf, you know, from His kindness and gentleness, is that subhanAllah, He saved the best of this month until the last, which is the last 10 nights. And only Allah Ta'ala knows how much, you know, barakat and rahmat, you know, mercy and forgiveness that, you know, is contained within these last 10 nights. Okay, so, you know, we have to realize, first of all, that to understand the magnitude of these nights, the virtues of these nights, we have to realize that Allah Ta'ala has chosen and favored these nights over any of the other nights of the year. Okay, these are the best nights of the year. And that's why, subhanAllah, nobody knows the true virtue of these last 10 nights except that they would really strive to do their best in these nights, and they would not want to waste even a moment in these nights, right? Because the reason is because besides the virtue of these nights is that, you know, amongst these nights, we know that there is a night that if a believer stands and prays to Allah Ta'ala in this night and worships Allah Ta'ala in this night out of sincere iman and hoping for the maghfirah and the rahmah, you know, the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala in this night, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive her previous sins. As related in one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man qama ramadan man qama laylatul qadr imanan wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih. That whoever stood in the night of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, with sincere iman and hoping for the reward from Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala would forgive their previous sins. Subhanallah. So this is from the enormous virtue of this night. Now, just to also understand that from the virtues of the, you know, of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, the ulama said, why is it called Qadr? Why is it called Qadr? They said, because it's a night of honor. It's a night of honor that, you know, this night has such a huge status with Allah. And also the one who stands in this night, whoever worships Allah in this night, they receive honor with Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So it's through worshiping Allah in this night that a person, yani, achieves honor with Allah Ta'ala. And the other thing they mention as well is that it's called Al-Qadr because this is a night of decrees, right? The night of Al-Aqdar. On this night, Allah Ta'ala reveals to the Malaika whatever is written in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. From those things that are going to be, you know, that He has destined to be happening in the coming year. Yani, who's going to... you know, whose soul is Allah going to take in this coming year? May Allah protect us and protect our families. You know, which soul is going to be born in this coming year? What rizq is a particular soul going to, you know, receive in this coming year? So all of these matters that are contained in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, they are revealed to the Malaika in this night. And it's due to the immense virtue of this night also that Allah Ta'ala sent down verses of the Quran in relation to this night. From them, you know, there's Surah Al-Qadr, as you know, but there's also in Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah Ta'ala mentions how Allah Ta'ala sent down the Quran in this night, right? But, you know, Allah Ta'ala says after the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, حَمِيم وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين. So Allah Ta'ala says in these verses, after the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Hamim, والكتاب المبين, by the clear book, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, verily we sent down the Quran in a blessed night. إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ, verily we were, yani, warning, this book was sent as a warning, right? And in this night, Allah Ta'ala, yani, this is a night that Allah Ta'ala, you know, reveals the decrees to the Malaika, right? So in these verses, Allah Ta'ala tells us that this is a night which is Mubaraka, right? And the other thing we know about this night also, my dear sisters, is that from the blessings of this night, is that when you do ibadah in this night, any ibadah in this night, it's khayru min alfi shahr, right? It's better than worshipping Allah Ta'ala than 1,000 months of worship, right? So, and as you know, if we work that out, it's that equals more than 83 years and 4 months of worship. And this is also a huge this is from the, you know, we know Allah Ta'ala from his beautiful names, he's Al-Kareem, that he is the most generous, subhanAllah. And so this is from the generosity of Allah Ta'ala to his believing servants, because we all know that not every believer lives a long life, right? Believers have different lifespans. But from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala for his believing servants is that, subhanAllah, he gave us nights like Laylatul Qadr and, you know, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which are times when if a person worships Allah Ta'ala, you know, the deeds you do in these times is, yani, it's multiplied, subhanAllah, multiplied so much more than normal times, right? So this is from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you could worship Allah Ta'ala in this night, and it's like longer than if you had lived for 83 years and 4 months of worship. From the other blessings also from this night, as we know, or the virtues of this night, of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, is that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ, that in this night, yani the angels, the Malaika and Jibreel alayhi salam, they descend to the earth. And it's also mentioned how the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala and Sakina and these things are also descending in this night. Now, as for when is it? When is this night, right? How do we know which night it is from these 10 nights? This is something Allah Ta'ala kept hidden from us. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us that it's you should seek it in the odd nights. Right, you should seek it in the odd nights, and most likely it's the 27th night, most likely, because yani quite a few of the companions, like Ubay ibn Ka'b, they used to swear that it's the night of the 27th. And you know, he would say, for example, I watched it, you know, for 20 years I watched to see the sun coming up in the morning, and each time I would sit and watch the sun for 20 years, I found the sun coming up without rays. And so therefore he was absolutely certain that the night of Al-Qadr is the night of the 27th, due to him watching the sun every morning after the night of the 27th. But how do you know on the night whether it's Laylatul Qadr or not? There are a few signs the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about. Like, for example, you know, he described that it's a night that is, you know, calm. It's a pleasant night. It's neither very hot or very cold. So how would you know when you're in that night? Like, say, the ulama, they said, for example, that on this night you feel there's some sort of brightness about the night. Okay, the night seems luminous or lit up. Okay, another thing that they said, that the heart of the mu'min, the heart of the believer, will feel a sense of, you know, sakina, a sense of, you know, peace and tranquility coming into their heart, that that you didn't feel in other nights. You feel something different in that night, right? And also that you find it easy to stay awake and worship. Like you feel a sense of, you know, enthusiasm towards wanting to worship and energy, right? And you feel some sort of sweetness in your ibadah in that night. So if you find that in one of these nights, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it's a sign that this is the night of Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. And we should also ask Allah ta'ala to help us, you know, guide us, guide our hearts and guide us to finding this night. It's something we should make dua for from now. You know, ask Allah ta'ala to make you find Laylatul Qadr and to be successful in this night, inshallah. All right, I just want to talk a little bit about what to do in these nights. Okay, so what do you do in these nights? So first of all, when you come to these nights are a time for you to really stop in your life and really reflect upon yourself, right? Reflect upon your life, reflect upon how you're going in your life, what direction are you taking in this life? Think about your past. What kind of, you know, sins have you fallen into in the past? What sort of, you know, things have you been doing wrong in your life, right? So it's a real time to just really be honest with yourself, have an honest look at yourself, the state of your heart, the state of your iman, you know, if you feel like there's some diseases that have come into your heart, you know, you feel like you're not going the right way in your life, things that you're not doing, you know that Allah Ta'ala has told you we need to do these things, but you're not doing it. Things like that, right? So it's about self-reflection, like being really honest with yourself because, you know, sisters, if we're not doing that from now, before we know it, we're going to be leaving this life and standing before Allah Ta'ala on the day of resurrection and he's going to be questioning us about everything we did in this life, right? So that's why it's very important that we call ourselves to account before Allah Ta'ala calls us to account, okay? So that's one of the most important things we do in these nights because if you're not doing it now, you're never going to do it. When are you going to do it? We're busy all year, right? So that's why I really encourage you to take time out during these nights in particular to do what I'm saying and think about things you need to do to improve yourself, change yourself, not keep going on this way that you're going, okay? The other thing you want to do as well in these nights is, you know, as much as possible, try to sort of cut yourself off from the dunya things and from the things that, you know, are distracting you in your life, right? So, for example, you don't want to be too much on social media. You don't want to be too much on, like, watching television, especially if it's the odd nights. You definitely don't want to be, you know, spending your time on social media and, you know, wasting our time. You know, we don't have time to waste. Like, think about how much time we've already wasted from our lives, right? And if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his attitude when these nights came to him? Like Aisha radiallahu anha, she tells us that, you know, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ, whenever these 10 nights would come to the Messenger of Allah, how شَدَّ مِئْزَرَ, like that he would, you know, tighten his waist belt. وَأَحْيَ لَيْلَهُ, and he would, you know, stay awake all the night. وَأَيْقَدَ أَهْلَهُ, and he would, you know, wake up his family. Okay, this was his attitude. He didn't want to miss a moment from this night, right? And we know that also he would go and perform i'tikaf in the masjid as well, all right? So he would sort of seclude himself off in the masjid, away from, you know, his family, from, you know, all of the normal dunya things like work and trade and all of those things. He would, you know, seclude himself in the masjid just so he could focus on his relationship with Allah Ta'ala as much as he could, right? And just, you know, striving in worship. So that's why, you know, I know we're home and I know, you know, we've got our kids and all of those things, but, you know, inshallah, they're going to go to bed, put your kids to bed, and then, you know, just really take that time to have that quiet time, you know, alone with you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to a certain room in your house where you can just sit alone, if it's your bedroom or wherever, you know, make a little prayer corner for yourself and just, you know, just sit there and just really try to have that time alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, what to do in these nights, I'm going to come to that in a minute, but like in particular, you want to be doing lots of extra prayers in these nights. You want to be, you know, reciting Quran you know, finishing the night with reciting the Quran, doing lots of dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, you know, making a lot of dua, especially for things at the akhirah. Like, yes, you can make some dua for your dunya things, but what I encourage you to do the most is make dua for your akhirah. You know, ask Allah, Ya Allah, you know, make my grave wide when I die. You know, Ya Allah, fill my grave with light when I die, and fill my loved ones' graves with light. You know, have mercy on all my loved ones, and, you know, Ya Allah, protect me from the fire. Ya Allah, save me and my family from the fire. Make us from the people of Jannah. Make us from the people who are going to enter Jannah al-Firdaws, right? These are the type of dua we should be asking Allah Ta'ala in this night, not just, you know, asking for, like, I want more money, or I, you know, these things. Of course, there's nothing wrong with asking for Allah to bless your rizq and things like that, but, you know, put your main focus on asking for forgiveness and, you know, especially tawbah, thinking about your sins you've done, as I was saying before, and then asking Allah to forgive you. You know, think about all those sins, because before we know it, we're going to be meeting with Allah, right? And if we didn't ask forgiveness for those sins, then we're going to find it in our books when we meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our suhuf, right? So in order to avoid that embarrassment of meeting Allah and finding these sins in our books, we want to ask Allah to forgive us before before that happens, okay? Besides that, sadaqah as well. You know, do sadaqah in this night. Like, subhanAllah, now we have got the ability to, you know, turn our phone on and just click some buttons and we can give sadaqah, subhanAllah. In the past, it was harder for us. We have to maybe go outside to give sadaqah to someone. But now, subhanAllah, we don't need to do that anymore. You know, we can just go online and do a transfer, right? The main thing that you want to be doing in these nights is just really showing how much you want Jannah, right? Showing Allah Ta'ala how much you want Jannah and how much you want him to save you from the fire. May Allah protect us from it. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So, okay, how do you get yourself in the right mental state? Well, Alhamdulillah, inshallah, you're attending this talk. I'm hoping that bi'idhnillah, after this talk, it's going to help you to get in the right mental state. But besides that, if you look at what the Salaf used to do, like, they used to do some things that would, you know, mentally prepare them for, you know, these nights, and to really, because when you mentally prepare yourself, it helps you to do better, right? It kind of makes you really feel that there's something special happening, that you need to really, you know, put your effort into these nights, right? So something that they used to do, it's reported that they would take ghusl, okay? They would take ghusl, especially if it was the night they thought was Laylatul Qadr, the night they thought was the night of Qadr, right? They would, take ghusl and, put some their best perfume on, their best clothes, to make themselves feel something special about this night, okay? Maybe putting on some incense, burn some incense in your house so you feel it's something different in that night, okay? So when you do things like that, it helps you to feel there's something special about this night. You know, I have to really focus on, you know, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night. One thing I want to mention too is try to get some sleep during the day. Like, if you're going to have a choice between staying up at night and, you know, sleeping in the day, go for sleeping in the day. Like, have a little sleep. Even if, one thing I do suggest sometimes is try to have a sleep before Maghrib, or sleep after Maghrib, sorry. Have a little sleep after Maghrib. Like, when you have your iftar, have a little sleep, put an alarm on, maybe sleep for about an hour, and then wake up, and then you will have energy, inshallah, to stay awake during these nights, inshallah. Besides that, very important is, you know, to have that sincere intention. You know, you want to do well. You want that forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that in every night from these nights, there are people who Allah saves from the fire, and you want to be from those people. You don't want Ramadan to leave except that you're from the people who Allah forgave in this month, right? And we don't know how many more Ramadans we have left. So we have to strive as much as we can in whatever way we're able to do, right? So as long as you have the right intention, then Allah Ta'ala will guide your heart and he will give you tawfiq, insha'Allah. You know, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Whoever truly believes in Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala Allah guides their heart. So as long as you really have that intention, Allah will guide your heart and keep you focused on your goal. Besides that, you know, you have some goals for yourself, how you want to spend these nights. I sort of have gone through that a little bit. Like some examples, like, so the way I would suggest your routine to be, like, so you pray al-Isha, okay? Pray your rakatain, sunnah, and then you can start your tarawih. Start your tarawih prayers. And you know tarawih because some people ask me, how do you pray tarawih? It's really easy. You just pray two rakat by two rakat, right? So, and if you know some, like, inshallah, most of you, I think most of you will know some Quran. So recite some Quran in each rakah from tarawih, and you can recite aloud. And the other thing is you're allowed to hold the mushaf for tarawih. So most of you I know, alhamdulillah, in Pakistan, most sisters I've ever known, like alhamdulillah from Pakistan, they're very good at reading Quran, mashallah. So, you know, hold the mushaf and recite as much as you can from the Quran. Besides that, you know, reciting the Quran. So you could pray, for example, four rakat of tarawih, and then you could sit for a while and do your Quran, you know, revising Quran, reciting Quran, you know, revising your memorization, and then take some time to do dhikr, get your dhikr, you know, get your dua book out and do some dhikr and say some duas from your dua book, and then do some more prayers, and then finish off your night with, for example, especially the last part of the night, you know, do a lot of istighfar, you know, astaghfirullah, and saying some du'as that, you know, are from al-istighfar. For example, you look at the du'a of Yunus alayhi salam, la ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin, you know, and repeat that over and over again, like make yourself really feel broken in front of Allah Ta'ala, right? And calling upon Allah Ta'ala by his beautiful names, Ya Allah, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghafoor, Ighfirli, Ya Rahman, Irhamni, right? So really call upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, like I said before, you know, reflecting on your life, reflecting on your sins, thinking about the hardness of your heart. Why aren't you crying to Allah in these nights? You know, why aren't you, you know, why are you feeling blocked? Why aren't you feeling that sweetness? And why aren't you feeling close to Allah, you know? So sometimes hardness comes in our hearts, sisters, and the way to crack the hardness is just, you know, subhanAllah, breaking yourself down and like repeat those du'as over and over again. Even you can say the du'a of Adam alayhi salam, رَبَّنَا إِنَّا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Right? What did he say? He said, Ya Allah, Inna ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we have oppressed ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا, if you don't forgive us and if you don't have mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we will surely be from the losers, right? If Allah does not forgive us, if Allah doesn't have mercy upon us, we are going to be from the losers, my dear sisters. We are not going to enter Jannah except by the mercy of Allah, right? So that's how, if you think like that, this is what's going to help you to feel broken before Allah. Because it's only by Allah we're going to enter Jannah, right? Not by what we do. We can wear the best niqab, we can wear the best hijab, we can pray, we can do all of these things, right? But ultimately, none of us is going to enter Jannah except by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So this is why we have to beg Allah in these nights to make us from those who are going to, you know, enter Jannah and save us from the fire. And, you know, you really got to think about your life, dear sisters. Like, how many of us have got missed fasts? We have not fasted from our lives. How many of us have missed prayers we haven't made up for? Or, you know, we haven't paid our zakah. Or we didn't go for hajj. We had the money, we had the mahram, but we didn't go for hajj in the past, subhanAllah. So there's a lot of things we've done wrong in our lives. We have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of tawbah to make. Okay, and I just want to also mention very importantly, besides all those du'as I just mentioned, the very important du'a to say in these nights, right? Which is the du'a that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Aisha. Okay, so this is the du'a. You want to repeat this du'a a lot in these nights, especially like when you pray and you do sajda, Okay, say this dua over and over again until you feel like, if you can, make yourself cry from saying this dua. Okay, like Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Right? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Ya Allah, innaka afu, you are the most pardoning. Tuhibbul af, you love al-af, you love to pardon. Fa'fu anni, so therefore pardon me, right? Because Allah loves to pardon, right? He is a tawwab who loves us to, you know, turn back to him. And he is al-afu who loves to pardon. He is al-ghafur who loves to forgive, right? That's from his sifat. That's from his beautiful names and attributes. So therefore, if he loves to pardon, it's upon us to ask him to, you know, we ask him for his pardon. We ask him to wipe away our sins and to forgive us. And he's the only one who can do that. He's the only one who can forgive us, my dear sisters. So that's why we have to really show him how much we want his forgiveness in these nights, right? So that's what I basically want to mention to you. One more thing I will add before I finish too is that even if you're menstruating, because I have this question all the time, and if you're on Facebook, if you're on Instagram, I have my page, and I've just put up today about what to do if you're menstruating, because everybody asks you this question: what if I can't pray? What if I can't fast? What am I going to do in these 10 days, right? So even if you're menstruating, my dear sisters, if you take the opinion that you can recite the Quran, of course, without touching it directly, but, you know, reciting the Quran without touching it, you know, doing muraja, revising your hifz, and making a lot of dua, get your dua book out, recite all the duas, do dhikr, you know, do as much dhikr as you can in these nights. And tawbah, like I said, especially tawbah, especially al-istighfar, you know, asking for forgiveness and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving charity as well. Like charity, anything that you're able to do in these nights, try your best to do that, inshallah. So in conclusion, my dear sisters, how to be successful. If you want to be successful in these nights, the most important thing is to have al-ikhlas, right? Have al-ikhlas and show Allah that you really want his forgiveness in whatever way you're able to do, right? So whatever you're able to do, everyone's got different circumstances. Not all of us have got, maybe we're sick, maybe we're looking after a young baby or something like that. We're not able to spend the night worshipping like other people, but we can still do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can still say la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. We can still say subhanallah wa bihamdihi, right? We can say it hundreds and thousands of times. That's something easy for all of us, right? The most important thing, as I said, have al-ikhlas and strive with whatever you can to show Allah ta'ala how much you want the Jannah and how much you want him to save you from the fire. So I ask Allah ta'ala to make us all from those who he gives us the tawfiq, the success, to find Laylatul Qadr in these nights, to find the night of al-Qadr, and to make us from those who get his maghfirah, his forgiveness in these nights, and that he makes us from those who he saves from the fire, us and our families and loved ones. And we ask Allah ta'ala to lift the trials from our ummah. Ya Allah, lift the trials from our ummah and enable us all to turn back, to return back to the masajid, and, you know, to return back especially to, you know, Hajj and Umrah, and, you know, visiting Mecca and Medina once more. And we ask Allah ta'ala to forgive us, forgive all our loved ones, and unite us all in Jannat al-Firdaws, just as he united us here, subhanAllah, on the internet. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Jazakallah. I feel like I'm ready. Inshallah. I was also in a rut, if I can confess. I was so upset the whole 20 days. it didn't go the way I wanted to. I was sleeping a little too much. And I'm so, inshallah, looking forward to the last 10 days. I hope, Ya Rab, that we can really understand how blissful this day is, how amazing and out of this world. It's like a miracle. And we can't see it maybe, but we have to believe it in our hearts.
That's right.
I really love the way you went about your points. You told us what to do, how to mentally prepare, and what type of routine we should have. I have here a little book with me. I hope everyone made some notes, because it's very important to remind yourself, make some sticky notes and put them all over the house and just
inshallah.
Keep reminding yourself, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan, ya Shaykh. I had one question. I've observed some women here do i'tikaf in their houses. So they basically lock themselves in one room. And they call it i'tikaf. So I wanted to know if that's, you know, permissible, if that's okay, if we should be doing it.
Actually, the conditions of i'tikaf is actually it should be in the masjid. Okay, and there are some narrations from the Sahaba. From memory, I think it's Ibn Abbas. He spoke about this as well. But we can definitely. You know, there's nothing wrong with secluding yourself in your house if you'd like to do that, and having a prayer corner. But you cannot consider it as like i'tikaf. Like an i'tikaf should be in the masjid. And we know in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they actually used to go for i'tikaf in the masjid. They didn't spend it in their houses. Okay, they used to actually get their tents. And they used to, you know, go to the masjid and take their tents, like they pitch a little tent in the masjid, subhanAllah, and do i'tikaf, inshallah. I ask Allah Ta'ala that we all get the chance to do that. Like if you go to Mecca and Medina, it's a lot easier to do something like that. But inshallah, that's, you know, but you have the intention. And don't forget, Allah Ta'ala rewards us according to our intentions.
That's true, subhanAllah, inshallah. Okay. Everyone who is here, if you have any more questions for Sheikha, please leave them now. So Sheikha can, inshallah, reply them. It looks like everyone is pretty satisfied.
That's okay, inshallah.
Jazakallahu khairan, Ustazah. It means a lot to us to have you. You're our first ever guest of Super Sisters.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah.
We were really looking forward to it, alhamdulillah. It's really an honor.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah make it.
May Allah bless you.
May Allah make us those who take quick action after gaining knowledge, inshallah, and accepting from us. And lastly, I want to thank you so much, Jazakallahu khairan kathiran, for coming and sharing your ilm and sharing your knowledge and really uplifting us, mashallah. Just listening to you has made my heart warm.
Barakallahu. Jazakallahu khairan. It was just an honor to come, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to, you know, increase our reward for gathering here, especially tonight. Being delays for me, it's the night of the 21st tonight. So, alhamdulillah.
Make dua for all of us, inshallah. I hope Allah gives us guidance and forgiveness, and inshallah, we can. Any last words, and then inshallah we can end our broadcast.
So inshallah, I ask Allah Ta'ala, you will be successful, inshallah. Make dua for all of us, inshallah. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will again, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. Okay, before we go, everyone, I would like to remind you that Super Sisters of Pakistan are just a new, you know, new organization. Our CEO is Fatima Ashraf, and we would really love it if you would help us with some donations by sharing our videos and just really spreading the word, inshallah. That would mean a lot. Jazakallahu khairan for attending. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.